licensing was not necessary to protect the big game of Alaska, other statutes and regulations do the job, and they say get it off the books, it's just being suburbs.
I forgot about it, it's a biggie.
It's not what you call it, a biggie.
Okay, is any of the members of the committee have any? We have a couple of witnesses. Darrell Miller, come forward, sir, give your name, your affiliation, and whatever testimony you wish to give.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, my name is Darrell Miller, I'm with the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. And I would like to testify on this bill in stating that the Department of Commerce and Economic Development supports the repeal of this law, or these portions of the law, which require that big game transport be licensed. The Guide Licensing and Control Board is continually attempting to eliminate this registration function as being unnecessary and burdensome. And we feel the protection of the public will not be reduced if this law becomes law. Since the inception of the bill in 1977, we've had a total of 161 transporters licensed. During calendar year 1982, we had 75 transporters licensed. And so far in this current calendar year, we have had 75 transporters licensed, and we anticipate the figure will remain constant. The regulations in the Guide Licensing and Control Board currently places the responsibility for transporting on the guide itself. And the department does favor the repeal of these provisions.
Any questions for the board? Thank you, sir. Lieutenant Conrad Seibel. Come forward, sir, and identify yourself, your affiliation, and whatever testimony you should transmit.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Lieutenant Conrad Seibel, representing the Department of Public Safety. And I don't have a prepared statement or testimony to give, except that we do support the intent of the bill to eliminate the transporter.
What is a transporter? Just briefly, what do they mean by a transporter? Is there a definition for that?
I believe there is, Mr. Chairman. I don't have one in front of me right now, but my understanding is transporter refers to those, specifically those people that transport big game, and you're talking about air charter services, taxi operators, and this type of thing. And the present statute is burdensome not only to our department, but to the those people involved. We feel that we do not have to have that in there to protect the resources of the state.
Okay. Any questions, gentlemen? Thank you. Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
I move the following individual recommendations.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, so ordered. How many do pass? Next order of business is Senate Bill 143. This is an act making solicitation of a prostitute by a patron of crime of prostitution for the board of last week, misdemeanor. This is a, yes?
Due to an error of miscommunication with Billy Barrier's office that I previously explained to you, we didn't get the correct committee substitute in the end. We've got one, but it's not the correct one that you requested. That one I have the same. That is the correct one. I got the wrong one.
We have a committee substitute that I thought might be proper, and that is a new subsection C to 1166-100. It says, notwithstanding the provisions of A of this section, a municipality may enact an ordinance making it unlawful for a person to solicit another person to engage in sexual conduct by offering to provide monetary or other compensation. What, in essence, this does is provide for local option of the municipality to enlarge the scope of prostitution within their, or the definition of prostitution within their municipality. They do so by ordinance. There is a problem, of course. It's my understanding it was a court case, Cleary. Is it, or Leary?
Clear.
In which some of the people are giving information, at least some of the information that I have received is that the court said that there was no need for a municipal ordinance, that a municipality could, by ordinance, the Home Rule City, enact legislation that would do what they desire. However, from speaking to the law enforcement people, they say that when you bring up a case like this to the district attorney, he refuses to prosecute it for the simple reason he says there's nothing within the act to allow you to do it. So you have a dichotomy, and there is also the problem that if you amend the criminal code, some people are of the opinion that this would set a precedent in allowing municipalities to, by ordinance, enlarge the scope of the criminal code, and I think that's a specious argument myself. Do you have anything, Gail, on that? Do you know anything?
Senator, I do know that the case that you're referring to, the Court of Appeals, reversed and said that Anchorage could, in fact, have its own ordinance. So all this seems to be is an echo of what the current law is. I don't know whether that's being appealed to the Supreme Court or not. It's always possible that the Court of Appeals could be reversed. I did want to comment on one thing you said, sir, and that is that the district attorney, supposedly law enforcement people have told you the district attorney wouldn't prosecute. This provision, which I've just heard you read, would not empower a district attorney to enforce an ordinance of the type that you're mentioning. It would have to be the local city attorney.
Right.
Yeah.
So by whichever case, local option would be served, and the will of the people within the municipality, if that's what they desired by ordinance, would be established. Does that make any sense? As a compromise, rather than making it a state covering everybody, just thought by those municipalities who wanted to take it through. Is that a satisfactory explanation, Jane?
I understand.
Fritz, you look a little worried. Do you want to look at this?
Yeah, I'd like to look at it.
Good, thank you.
Can we arrest the mail copy?
I just got that from the draft, and they can have it made up right away if you like.
Be reasonable.
Don't be confused with facts.
Pushy. I trust you.
It's not really one of my favorites. I mean, I don't have any. Well, in
what? Where?
In the honesty of serving as the chairman of the committee, when you have bills in, you're supposed to do the very best you can to make them palatable, or at least have a chance to pass.
I notice the direct relationship between the bills you support having local option and those you don't.
Well, one suggestion, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Apparently, under current law, 1166-100A, there's a gender problem, maybe a gender problem.
I understand that.
So but if they wanted to take care of that, we could also do it.
We could take care of it at the same time. You know, we could always put he, she, or it, huh?
Right. Or unison.
Don't press your luck.
But I go along with your proposal.
I think that's a fair compromise. If you have a objection to that, it's your district, Senator Joseph.
Can I take a look at
it? It seems to be more inclined to have these kind of problems in the state.
B is the penalty provision. It says this crime is a Class B misdemeanor.
Right. And A says?
A says a person commits the crime of prostitution if he engages in or agrees to, offers to engage in sexual contact for a fee. B says prostitution is a Class B misdemeanor.
What I'd like to do is make this Section B and renumber Section B to Section C.
Yeah. I support the chair.
It's another one I owe you, isn't it? We can make this B and renumber existing C or existing B to C, right? And in A, change B
attend here, they do it themselves. They have a special.
Okay, and they change the gender. Okay, gentlemen. Chair will entertain a motion on the committee substitute.
I move to report the committee substitute with individual recommendations with the changes just announced by the chair.
Is there any objections?
There be no rec.
How many do pass? How many no rec? Okay. Next order of business is Senate Joint Resolution 19. Senator Moss. This is requesting a presidential pardon for Dr. Jim Goodman and his restoration of the civil rights to executive clemency granted by the governor. We have worked out a committee substitute for the resolution. Do you have a copy of that, sir?
Yes, sir. I have two amendments.
All right. Senator Joseph.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, on line 22, where the phrase reads, whereas the United States Attorney settled the civil claim for substantially less money than $100,000 in, I would like to propose a change so that it would read, whereas the United States Attorney and Dr. Goodman have settled the civil claim. And if I can speak to that, the reason is that in the preceding paragraph it is stated...
Just a second, sir. And eliminate the rest of the verbiage?
Yes. The reason is that in the prior paragraph, there's a discussion about how they filed suit for $100,000, and I don't think the fact that they settled it for less than $100,000 is not a fact which would support the Board of Dental Examiners giving favorable consideration. What's cogent is that the government and Dr. Goodman came to an agreement for some compromise sum, and that's why I would prefer to do that.
Senator Moss?
Sounds real well.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, I might make one facetious comment, if I may.
Go ahead, sir.
I didn't realize this afternoon that I would be up before you. I would have observed the Parker rule.
And then the next amendment would be to insert another paragraph on line 26, another whereas clause, saying, and whereas Dr. Goodman renders dental service to an area not otherwise served by private dentistry. And the reason for that is that I think when we talked about this before, we were talking about the well-being of the people out there, which isn't really addressed in the printed language.
Yeah. Well, that would make that by practitioners or rather than by private dentistry, okay?
By private dentists.
By practitioners
of dentistry. So,
what line was that?
Practitioners
of dentistry. We'll have them repeat it again when we get it straight here.
By practitioners of private dentistry.
Okay. A new whereas clause. Just before the whereas, it is likely that the Alaska Board clause appears, meaning whereas Dr. Goodman renders dental service to an area not otherwise served by practitioners of private dentistry. Practitioners in private dentistry.
Right.
Would you like to make one more amendment and nobody can understand it?
No.
Amendments make sense.
The point is we're asking the board to do this because we want to see the people served in Delta Junction and vicinity. And
which is not even as win. Us laymen are going to have a caucus here. Does that satisfy you, Senator Moss?
Sounds good to me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
The main thing I'm hoping is that in some manner we will be able to allow the doctor to continue his work in the area.
Is there any objection to the amendments to the committee substitute?
I don't have a...
We'll change it to make it a...
Yeah, I understand. Committee substitute. I don't have any... Mr. Chairman, I don't have any understanding. I mean, any problems with anything with the resolution now as we've written, because we're doing that which will help the people in Senator Moss's district as well as the doctor himself. But on line 14, and 13. All right. The gentleman was fined X number of dollars. He was placed on probation, during which time he forfeits. Don't we mean to say something like, during which time he must forfeit such civil rights? Grammatically is what I'm fussing about. Or he shall forfeit, or he has been compelled to forfeit, or will be compelled to forfeit such civil rights as a right to vote, etc.
Must forfeit would be better than forfeit.
You must forfeit such civil rights.
Is there an objection to the including that language?
I have just a question.
Go ahead, sir.
He is forfeiting his civil rights because of conviction for
of a felony.
Yes,
sir.
Now,
federal felony.
Right. Now, the question I have is that it's forfeited, it's not suspended, right? But we're saying here, during that five-year period, as I read it, he will lose these rights, but after 5 years, he automatically regains them.
Yeah.
He does?
I don't think so.
I missed the question I had.
I don't think so either.
You never get back unless
you... During which time he forfeits. Well, the time referred to is the 5 years, I would assume.
You mean he never gets restored the right to vote?
Not necessarily. I think
Kurtz
and I are
going to
change also.
Or the right to bear arms.
Or the right to hold public office.
Or, yeah.
How does Harold Washington go?
Huh? At Chicago.
Maybe he was.
His was a misdemeanor, Joe. Oh. He told me that the other day on TV.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, he was discussing that very point. He says, they charged me with a felony. Okay. He says, I was never.
All right. Senator Lysen's on the right track, I think, on line 14, during which time he forfeits, because really he's lost these rights in perpetuity in this pardon by presidential pardon. So maybe we ought to say on 9-14, Mr. Chairman, strike the word during which time, stating as a result of which he must forfeit.
I wish you'd have waited until we got on the floor with these things.
Aren't you glad we didn't?
Senator Ziegler, I wish you'd have waited until we got on the floor. Did you ever play? You were gone when a question came up on the floor today. Why the effective date on there was 1985, and nobody could find out, and nobody could answer.
Well, that would be up to your request, or you put it in by request. And obviously, the person who got in touch with you said let's make it 85.
No, they didn't say anything about it.
Oh,
typographical error.
I just gave it to you. I figured you.
Thank you.
We're going to change that to 84, January 1st, 1984. You've heard the corrected version now. Is there any objection now to the committee substitute? You want to wait and look this over and see if we can't find some
Sure, let's check out the room.
Should we just check this out again?
Huh?
Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
Move we report the resolution out with individual recommendation.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, so ordered. How many do pass? How many no rec?
I'm going to be no rec until I see the next one. Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
My pleasure. Did you get all the changes?
Yes, sir.
Next, we have committee substitutes. We have Senate Bill number 179, an act relating to the delegation of department head memberships and board commissions and other units of state government. We have a committee substitute outlining all the good stuff that we put in the last meeting. Notwithstanding any other provision of law, a principal executive officer of the State Department who is appointed under statutory mandate, those are the key words that I remember, to serve as a member of the Board, Commission, Public Authority, Public Corporation, or other unit of state government, may assign the duties, powers, and privileges of the member to a subordinate employee who has status at least equivalent to division director, subject to the approval of the governor. Delegation of membership under this subsection must be in writing and is effective until the principal executive officer revokes the delegation, resigns, or otherwise forfeits office, or is no longer qualified to be a member. Principal executive officer of a state department who makes a delegation of membership under this subsection must also notify the legislature of the delegation in writing. The delegation of membership under this subsection may be nullified by a concurrent resolution of the legislature adopted within 30 days after notification of the delegation of membership. That last section was, again.
Well, the only problem with that is, Mr. Chairman, if we may comment, is that you might not find out until 42 days after that he's a real bummer and ought to go.
That's my feeling also. Yeah.
But, Mr. Chairman, I have an opposite view of that, is that I think it's really unworkable to have somebody sitting as a delegate on a board or commission, and the first time that he or she does something which offends a powerful member of the legislature, this whole process of nullification can get into effect.
Wish we could do that with a commissioner.
You don't do that with commissioners. I think that there could be a lot of mischief done here if we don't have some stability, and the poor fellow would be always looking over his shoulder to see.
Yeah, but the counter offensive to that is that the commissioner doesn't have to delegate the power. The commissioner is the power.
Exactly, but if it's a commissioner, you don't remove the commissioner from the board by concurrent resolution if the commissioner acts contrary to what you want. So why remove the agent from the board?
Because the agent might not be doing what the commissioner wants, or he may be doing...
Then the commissioner can revoke his authority.
He may be doing contrary to what the commissioner, or what you want, or what the commissioner publicly says, but in all truth, that he is adopting the policy of the commissioner, and the commissioner saying, oh, I have nothing I can do about it.
Well,
in other words, I think it's an unwarranted delegation of power by a commissioner. That's how I feel about it. But I will entertain a motion.
I have a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
A problem of timing here. I would think, as an example, when this legislature is not in session, and maybe a deputy commissioner who has been designated as, and then he resigns and someone else comes aboard and the commissioner appoints him and notifies each of us individually, and the 30-day period is gone.
It was supposed to read 30 legislative days.
Well, I mean, this is the question I'm trying to ask. You know, we can, looks like we're filling a box around which we could drop ourselves into. It's all right if we're in session, but if we're out of session, what do we do then?
Justin Schultz.
I move to add the word legislative before the figure 30 on my
agenda.
That
cures
the problem.
My second question is, even though you can specify by statute that theoretically you can mandate by passing a concurrent resolution, does this really mean you can do that? It's a concurrent resolution. That have all that much force of law?
It does if we says it does.
Well, I wonder if it does, really does, right. If he says it does. That's the question I have.
It does for the simple reason that we are allowing something that is the prerogative of the legislature and determining that the commissioner shall be a member of the board, and we're allowing him to delegate power.
Well,
and if it's not satisfactory to us, we can say no and go back to where you were before.
Can we also say as an example that the legislature can, by statute, write a statute which in fact says the legislature can nullify regulations by passing a concurrent resolution.
Sure.
Can we do that?
Mr. Chairman, I think that there are different issues that we've discussed. I think that that area had to do with executive authority to enforce the laws. You know what I'm trying to
say? If this was something that said that the commissioner was appointed by the governor, and we would later say that the governor didn't have the right to do it or something. Is that what you're getting at?
Well,
I'm trying to make an analogy here.
I guess the main question I had evidently been answered, that you can, if you put in the statute the fact that you can nullify something at a later date by resolution, I guess you can. Even though resolution doesn't really carry all that much
respect. Like state of police pay raise, you can, by resolution, you can refuse it.
Mr.
Chairman, I wouldn't worry about it too much, because the first time that we try to nullify a delegation and the governor says you can't do that,
we take it away.
We just take away that. We just say, fine, we just go back to the old system.
Go back in the middle and take it away. So,
I don't know if it's really getting complicated. I don't know if we're really accomplishing a whole lot.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to report the committee substitute with the amendment. His individual recommendation.
New committee substitute. Is there an objection? How many do pass? How many no rec? How many do not pass?
How many kill it in reels?
I'm sure that Senator Bates and Senator Ray are fearless leaders. We'll see eye to eye on this point.
Maybe I said there's another Democrat in the House, but I'm saying. But I got to support.
I just don't believe it. I
got to support Sheffield.
That isn't Sheffield's bill.
Support.
Okay, we got some hot ones here. Senate Bill 183 by Josephson, forgiving debts owed by political subsidies for judicial services. I'll take care of that one.
Isn't that a hurry for radio, Mr. Chairman? Doesn't that keep coming back like I
have? It will until we do justice.
Remember to put the add the word in there, legislative means.
Sure.
All right. Okay. I'll take that one, Joe. I wouldn't want you to sweat on that.
What's your room number?
Of course, I should be honest with you and say I've opposed that for 15 years. Not that that would have any bearing on it.
We'll take a fresh look, won't you?
Yeah. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 33. Finance, special appropriation Department of Transportation public facilities for design of a statewide crime facility in Anchorage.
Chairman, I suggest that some member of this committee who serves on finance who comes from Anchorage ought to handle that.
Okay, I'll give that to Elias. You better give us some chits in the bank with the guys from Anchorage on the finance committee. House Bill 79, Fritz. CTRLFLD. Now, what the heck is that supposed to mean?
Court rule.
Court rule. Failed. Oh, I see. Repealing the peremptory disqualification of a judge. I don't think I should burden any of the.
I should just follow.
Okay, I'll take it.
You'll be objective.
Sure, I will. I'll have that baby written so you can't review that. Okay, any other good to come before the order?
Good of the order. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Once again, thank you for your astuteness and your willingness to labor mightily in the vineyards and judicial procedures.
I should know what about that because I think that's
the biggest spill.
Not that important for you?
Okay, sorry. I signed your part of that one. No, Joe. Can I get a chance?